communicate with God? Oh, maybe even more importantly, is how does God communicate to us? How does he speak to us? How does he get the messages through he wants to? You know, for a lot of us, most of us, it's not terribly audible. Look, we all know Travis, and we all know where he is in his life from a spiritual perspective, but he will tell you the one primary time he's had in his life when he audibly heard was from God was when out at Western Speedway, I bought him a race car, taught him how to race, taught him how to go to run the track, I taught him how to take the start in the green flag, and he didn't listen to me. And he crashed the car in the first corner, and there he is, his seat's buckled over, and he's listening to the track workers come up, and he's hearing the noise and everything, and he hears that voice, get back in the race, Travis, get back in the race. And he looks to his right to see if there's a turn worker there to help him. There's no one there. And he goes, what am I, unconscious? Am I conscious? And he hears it again, Travis, get back in the race. And that stands, I mean, when he went through that, he came into the pits, he was white as a ghost. Bill, I need to tell you something. What's just happened here? And for him, it was totally amazing, totally transforming. He crashed my car, but he heard from God. But that stands as the primary audible voice that he heard from God. You know, when you look at the Bible is fraught with all sorts of messages how God has communicated with people. The one the best I like is the one which involves Job. You know, Job goes through a tremendous amount of adversity, and he's almost all lost his life. He's lost so many things, and there's his friends trying to find a bunch of sin in him. And the dialogue goes back and forth. And Job is a long book. It's well over 38 chapters, 42 chapters altogether. And it's interesting because all three of Job's friends have a run at him. And then Job responds to his friends. And then God gets involved. And the way you read the book, the way I read the book of Job, it appears like a conversation. So I'm going to take it like that. Job makes some comments and God responds to Job. That's what it says. Job gets it, and then Job responds back to God, and then God responds back to Job. And then God has a message for three of Job's friends. And then God responds back to Job in the blessing that he gets in the last two or three paragraphs of the book. And in that, Job gets a new understanding. In that, Job gets to understand, you know, I thought I was a righteous guy. I thought it was okay. And he was. He was a great guy. He was a good servant. But there's a couple of things that God saw in him that he saw issues and challenges for Job. And he wanted to bring that to his attention. I thought, isn't that cool how God got to talk to Job? Well, in the movie Mr. Destiny, the movie goes almost 2 hours long, is a complete dialogue between God and Larry Burroughs. Larry Burroughs is an advertising sports executive for Republic Liberty Sports. He's a good guy. He's a family man. He's honest. He's got a nice home. He just built a new home. He's doing pretty good, although he has a terrible day. He loses his job because he brings forward issues of integrity about the other employees, and he's fired for that. His friends forget it's his 35th birthday, and he's down in the dumps. And he's reflecting on his worst day in his life. Now, Larry's 35 years of age, but in all reality, Larry is reliving the last 20 years of what is his worst day in his life. This just shows up again. So we'll run the first panel here and show you how Larry kind of narrates the opening of the movie. And we get a texture and a theme towards the challenges Larry's having, but all reality, it's many like the challenges we have in our own life.
Destiny's a pretty big concept when you think about it. Where you are in life, how you got there. What would have happened if one thing or another...
Take the lights out, Larry.
To be honest, I never gave it much thought myself. Until today, June 14th, my 35th birthday. And without a doubt, the strangest day of my life. You remember the old story that starts... This guy goes into a bar. Well, I'm the guy. Now here's the story. But wait a minute. I'm getting way ahead of myself. To tell this story right, I should start where it really begins. 20 years ago. 20 years ago today, as a matter of fact. June 14th, 1970. my 15th birthday, and also a very strange day. It was the All-State High School Championship game. Bottom of the ninth, two outs. Our school hadn't made it to the finals in 25 years. So out of a town of 30,000 people, 38,000 showed up for the game. Fillmore High had us by a run, and it was a 3-2 count. Fenwick was standing on third like the bag was getting ready to explode under his feet. The championship had come down to one batter. Yeah, you guessed it. Yours truly, Larry Burrows. Haskins was throwing fastballs because that was the only pitch he ever threw. So I was ready for the next one.
Hey, Stellar, you can do it! Have an eye, have an eye! Swing, babe, it's all yours!
Then something weird happened. Don't ask me what it was, because it only happened for a split second. But that was enough to change my life forever. Why is it when you do something terrific, 9 times out of 10, you're all alone? But when you screw up really big, the whole world is watching. I wanted to crawl under home plate and never come out.
You can see Larry's stage is set for where he is from 20 years ago. It's just coming forward. As the movie rolls along, we get to see a little bit about Larry's personal life here. So let's show that one, Larry. Larry, where Larry lives. He lives in nice suburbs.
Ellen and I have a pretty regular life. We have a little two-bedroom house in the suburbs that isn't quite finished. And a contractor named Guzzleman who doesn't want to quite finish it.
Hey, Mr. Guzzleman. How are you? Geez, I haven't seen you in the past 6 weeks. Thought you were captured by some aliens or something.
Got your message. Problem is...
It's the, driveway.
What's wrong with it?
Well, you think maybe we can pave it?
Oh, you can't pave until the mud is all gone.
Well, then we just have to get rid of the mud then, right?
No, don't do mud. You need a mud guy for that.
A mud guy?
Yes.
They have that?
Yes, mud guy, yes. Anything else, or?
Well, now that you mention it, it'd be nice to have a front lawn.
I must need a check for that.
How much is that?
$1,000.
Don't you guys know any other number?
$2,000.
We have a dog named Sammy. I found him rooting through some garbage in an alley, so I brought him home.
Sammy peed on the rug again.
Way to go, Sammy. He has a nervous bladder, but a good heart.
Larry works for Liberty Sporting Goods, and he has a regular, average, everyday, ordinary job. He's an account executive. And what Larry yearns for is something different, something changed, something is going on in his life that doesn't bring him interest, excitement. He's just really not there. His friend Clip tries to cheer him up, and it's his 31st birthday. Well, we'll run this clip and see. This is Larry at Republic Sporting Goods. Liberty Republic
Sporting
Goods.
Cindy Joe's father owns the company, and she's married to Jackie. That's how a guy named Cementhead gets to be president.
Did Jackie go back to his office?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. He had lots of work to do. Touchdowns and all that stuff.
Well, it was nice seeing you again, Larry. Bye, Clip.
Always nice seeing you too, Cindy. Maybe it was because it was my birthday. Maybe it was seeing Cindy Joe. I don't know. But all morning I'd been thinking about what it would have been like if my life had turned out differently.
You ever have any regrets, Clip? You know, about how your life has turned out or about choices you made?
No. Oh. No. But I figure I didn't make all that many choices. You know what my policy is? You do nothing, you see what happens. And you know what? Things always seem to turn out fine.
Yeah, for you, Clip.
Well, you know what your problem is? Nothing's ever good enough for you. The way I see it, you've got the perfect life. You've got a wonderful home, a terrific wife, a good job, and the best friend money can buy. What else could a guy want?
A little excitement would be nice. Well, that brings me back to where I began. In the middle of nowhere with a car that won't start. All things considered, and it turned into a pretty rotten birthday. But nothing in my wildest imagination could have prepared me for what came next.
Hi. You got a payphone?
Right there.
Thanks. Yeah, hi. It's me again. Yeah, I'm gonna need another tow. Yeah, I'm on the corner of Cross and Third, right next to a bar. Yeah, the station wagon. I get a new car. All right. Get a new car. Gotta get a new life.
Car trouble, huh?
Yeah. Tow truck will be here in 20 minutes.
Get you something while you wait.
You sure use it.
Light beer, no glass, right?
Yeah. How did you know?
Just a guess. Say, don't I know you from somewhere?
You know, you seem familiar to me, too.
Name's Mike.
Larry.
Burroughs. Larry Burroughs, right. You're the kid who lost the high school championship in 1970. Sorry, if I'd known it was a sore point, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Forget it. I'm getting used to it. This whole day's been a nightmare.
Care to talk about it?
Well, it's, you know, it's lots of things. I didn't have my cereal this morning. Didn't have my coffee at work. I got fired. It's my 35th birthday and everyone forgot. Well, almost everyone. I mean, I got vomit from Clip.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, 35 years old in my life.
It can't be all that bad.
Yeah, it's not that it's bad, you know. It's just that it's ordinary. You know, I do the same thing every day. Go to work, come home, build some model cars, or I go bowling. I fall asleep in front of the TV every night. Oh, if I just hit that ball, my life would have turned out a whole hell of a lot better.
Some people believe that things are the way they are for a reason.
Well, the reason eludes me, Mike. Can I have another one?
Listen. I've got just the thing for a sober cynic like yourself. It's a little something of my own design. I call it the spilt milk. It's the one drink there's no use crying over.
Well, very clever, Mike.
It does the job. Try it. So you really think your life would have been better if you'd hit the ball, huh?
Yeah, a lot better. Swung too late, that's all. Yeah. I just started a half a second sooner. Half a second sooner and I would have been king. Lousy half a second. Well, I think I'll go outside and wait for the tow truck. Thanks for the sympathetic ear, Mike.
Anytime, Larry. That's what I'm here for.
Mike says some things are the way they are for a reason. Do you get that? Larry had his whole life, the last 20 years, wrapped up in hitting that ball. So Mike gave him the drink of spilt milk, and Larry's life has forever changed. We're going to find now that instead of Larry missing the ball, he hit the ball, just like the video showed. And Larry is going to be entering into his new life. There's only one challenge that God wanted to show him was, guess what? He still has complete mental, physical, educational access to his previous life. He's going to be caught between two places here. We'll run this clip here. He tries to get into his house and finds out someone else is living there.
Hey, Ellen. Let me in, will you? I gotta use the cam. Come on, honey. My cam won't work. Let me in.
Don't bang it on my door like that.
Hey, who are you? What's going on here? What have you done with my wife?
What are you talking about?
Hey, look, man. Just take whatever you need and leave. If you don't hurt anybody, I won't call the cops, okay?
Cops? Man, I am a cop. Now, just what's your problem, huh?
Well, I don't have a problem. I live here. What are you doing in my house? Is something wrong?
Your house? You better show me some ID, pal, right now.
Yeah. No, okay. Boy, you're going to feel like a fool, though. I mean, I've lived here for over a year.
Lawrence J. Burroughs, 11653, Bonnie Meadow Lane, Forest Hills.
Where did I get this license?
Probably from the DMV, where everybody gets their license.
Look, I don't care what this thing says. This is my house, and I want to see my wife. Now step out of my way.
You try and come in my house, and I'll kick your all the way down the block.
I don't care. I'm coming in.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
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 No, you're not.
Larry?
Mike, what are you doing here?
We need to talk.
Yeah, in a minute. I gotta get in my house.
That's one of the things we need to talk about. You don't live there anymore.
What?
See, even a cab driver knows you don't live here. Now beat it.
It's all very simple, really. You know that little incident you didn't like about your life?
You mean the baseball game?
It's been changed.
Changed? What do you mean, changed?
You hit the 3-2 pitch right out of the park.
And that's why I don't live in my house anymore.
Exactly. When that moment changed, everything else in your life changed along with it.
And Larry doesn't quite buy it just yet. You see what's happened? God has entered into Larry's life, much like God was right beside Job when he wanted to get that passage through to him. He wanted to get through to him. He wanted to bless Job, but at the same time, he wanted to make sure he received the message. So that was the direct dialogue right at the end of the book of Job. Well, in the same way, we're seeing this here with Larry. Larry's going to go to his house now. He still thinks it's a bit of a joke. Ah, it's a surprise birthday party. Well, guess who's waiting for him at his new house?
Honey, I'm here. It's me.
Darling, you're home. I'm so worried.
Daddy, did you bring us something? What did you bring us?
Where have you been? Ludwig went to pick you up, but they said you'd already left.
Cindy Jo, what are you doing here? Are you in on this too? Where's Clip and Ellen?
Who are Clip and Ellen? What are you talking about, sweetheart? In on what?
My surprise birthday party.
The party isn't for another 2 hours, dear, and you told me you didn't want it to be a surprise because you hate surprises. Darling, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong. Will you excuse me a minute? Mike! Okay, Mike. What's going on? Why is Cindy Jo calling me sweetheart? Who are those kids and what is this place?
This is your house. Those are your children. Cindy Jo's your wife.
No.
Yes. Are you all right?
No. I'm not all right. I mean, this kind of thing doesn't happen every day, you know?
Yes, it is quite remarkable, if I do say so myself.
Wait, I don't understand any of this. How can my life change so much just because I hit one stinking baseball?
Well, you see, Larry, one's destiny is a very complicated thing. Every incident in a person's life affects everything else that follows it. Instead of missing the baseball, however, you hit it. Then you became a hero, married the prom queen, and so on and so forth, until you find yourself exactly where you are. So you see, hitting that baseball has spun your life off in an entirely new direction.
Are you an angel or something?
Not exactly, no.
Then what are you?
Have you ever been faced with a decision and you weren't sure what to do?
Yeah, sure, plenty of times.
And then something inside you made you choose one direction over another?
Yeah, so?
So that's me. I make the suggestions and you make the choices. That's how destiny works, Larry. Very subtly. Welcome to your new life, Larry. I hope you like it.
Mike. Hey, wait a second. Mike, hey. Mike. What am I supposed to do now?
I make the suggestions and you make the choices. I mean, when I heard that in 1990, that set a whole new course and direction in my own life. And I suspect it's much like for ourselves too that make decisions like that. Our lives go in a whole new direction as God makes the suggestions and we make the choices. That to me was life-changing. As the movie rolls along, here's Mike again, and now he's a bartender. And he's helping Larry just like Job did. He's helping Larry along the way to allow him to see exactly how to adjust to his new life. There's one small catch. Larry isn't the nice, cool guy that he was in his former life. He's not so liked in his new life. He has to get used to that. Hey, you make the choices from the suggestions, and you have to pay the consequences. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I didn't expect that. Is there anything else that's going to come as a shock?
It all will, to some degree.
To what degree?
You'll see. Things have changed, Larry. You have to take the bad with the good. You didn't think everything was going to be perfect, did you?
Well, I suppose not.
This is your life, Larry. Learn to enjoy what you've got.
Learn. Learn to enjoy what you've got. How cool is that? You know, we found out where Larry is with his corporate life, with his existence, where his new wife is. But now we're going to take you to the lunchroom. He's going to meet his former wife in his other life for the first time. Things are changed. Things are different. She doesn't respond the way he thinks. This is segment number 8, Larry.
I'm the president of the company. I should do something about this line, don't you think? Oh, my God.
Ellen. Ellen!
It's me, Larry. Oh, my God. Am I glad to see you. Oh, I've been wondering where you were.
Beg your pardon?
You know, they told me you didn't work here. I couldn't find you. There's no record of an Ellen Ripley, and I knew it wouldn't be under Burroughs.
Why would it be under Burroughs? My name is Robertson.
Robertson? What are you doing with that name?
It is customary for a woman to take her husband's name, Mr. Burroughs. Now, if you'll excuse me.
You're married? When did that happen?
6 years ago. Don't worry, I wasn't married on company time.
Wait. You just married the first guy that came along?
Look, just because I work for you does not give you the right to pry into my private life.
Well, of course it doesn't. I'm just concerned. As I am about, you know, all my employees, Mrs. Robertson.
Concern for your employees has never been your strong suit, Mr. Burroughs. Now, if you excuse me, I'd like to eat my lunch by myself.
Yeah, but can we just...
You really must do something about this meatloaf, Larry. It is absolutely inedible.
Ellen's married.
Yes, I know.
She's mad at me, I can tell.
She's the union shop steward. And the union's upset over all the layoffs, the increased workload, pay freezes.
So what's that got to do with me?
You are the president of the company. Their mortal enemy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't lay anybody off.
But you did. And so, Ellen hates your guts.
She hates my personal guts.
You'll find a lot of people don't like you, Larry.
Well, what am I going to do? I mean,
exactly. What am I going to do? Larry's tremendously conflicted. He wants now to get back to his old life, which he hated, and he's not willing to endorse and embrace his new life. He's seeing Mike as a challenge to him. What is God doing? In this next section, Larry takes another run at Ellen to see, is there any way, is there any hope I can get back? You can help me get back to our old life. Go ahead, Larry.
Oh, don't do that, Mike.
Congratulations, Larry. It's a brave man who takes command of his own destiny.
Well, thanks. Feel pretty good about it myself.
And you don't feel guilty running around with Ellen behind Cindy Jo's back?
Guilty? Why should I feel guilty? I just got here, remember? It's not like I have a history with Cindy Jo or anything.
Well, okay, fine.
Wait a second. What do you mean, well, okay, fine?
Nothing, really. It's just that Cindy Jo has been a loyal and loving wife for the last 10 years.
What are you getting at?
Your destiny has been changed, Larry, by request, I might add. And you must take responsibility for the circumstances of your new life. They are, after all, of your own making.
Well, if I made them, I can unmake them.
Good evening, Mr. Burroughs.
Hi.
Any trouble finding the place?
No, no trouble at all.
That's good. That's good.
These are for you.
You're lovely. Thank you.
Welcome. I'm afraid Hercules got dog drool all over him.
How'd you know his name is Hercules?
Because it's on his tag. That I've been staring at for the past 5 minutes.
Okay, come here, boy. Come here. Hercules. Oh. Hercules.
Nice doggy. Good doggy. I don't think he likes me.
Well, he's an exceptional judge of character.
We aren't starting off very well, are we?
No, we're not. And Larry has continually struggled with what has gone on here. He's totally confused. And he's seeking to Ellen, his wife, for the answers. And in this next panel, she comes up with something that helps him, gives him a bit of a guidance. Go ahead, Larry.
Good night, Mr. Burroughs.
Larry.
I had a fun evening, Larry. Thanks.
I did too. It brought back a lot of good memories. Well, good night.
Larry.
Yes.
If we had such a great life together, why'd you want it changed?
I guess I just didn't know what I had.
Larry says, I just didn't know what I had. How true is that? When God wants to work in us, he wants to change things, much like he did with Job. He's working the thing. He creates the suggestions, and we come up with the choices. One more panel here is Larry and Ellen have one more talk.
You know, I've been thinking about what's important to me, too. And you know what it is? It's us being together.
What's the matter, sweetheart? Hello?
Tom. This is my boss, Larry Burroughs. Larry, this is my husband, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Burroughs.
Nice to meet you.
So what's going on, Ellen?
Oh, nothing's going on, Tom. I'm going out of town, and so I thought I'd stop by and say so long. Well, so long.
I gotta tell him one thing. Larry? I was wrong about you. I think you're a wonderful man. I wish it could have been different between us. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Sorry.
You know, as the movie moves along to its conclusion, Larry is really conflicted. This is what he wanted. Now he's got it. He realizes it's not what's cracked up to be the success. He's turned into a different individual. He's angry. The people are angry at him. And as the movie moves along, he gets in a lot more trouble. To the point in the closing scenes here, he's about to be arrested. And as usual, Mike and God show up in the nick of time.
Somebody here call for a tow truck?
Tow truck?
You all right, Larry?
I'm back.
Back from where, Larry? You've been here the whole time.
I'm really back, aren't I?
You've always been here, Larry.
Sure I have, you old destiny bender, you. I love this guy. He's great, isn't he? I just love this guy. Thanks. Thanks for everything. The good and the bad. Boy, you sure do know how to make a point. Oh, listen, Mike. Whatever you got planned for the rest of my life, it's perfect.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Thanks, Mike.
The good and the bad, the way God looks, that's all one thing. And it's interesting because Larry finally sees what's been going on in his life. God's been teaching him how to appreciate what he has. A lot of times we don't appreciate and understand and respect what God's given us. And in these last scene here, I want to share with you how it all ties together, not only for his future now, but how his past 20 years ago is totally okay.
God, I've missed all you guys so much.
You have?
Oh, Ellen. I've forgotten how beautiful you are. Oh, wait till I tell you guys what happened. You're not going to believe what happened.
Oh, honey, Clip told us. It's okay. We'll manage. I'll work overtime.
Oh, no, not that. I can get a new job anywhere. I'm just so glad to see everyone. Sammy. Where's Sammy? Sammy? Sammy! Come here. Oh, Sammy. I love you too, baby. Oh. We'll go driving all weekend, okay? All right, honey.
So are you really surprised?
Oh, this whole day's been a surprise, honey.
Are you hungry?
No, but you know, I'd like a cup of coffee.
Oh, honey, I forgot to buy any. Sorry. I'll get some more tomorrow. I promise.
Clip! Oh, God, did I miss you. You look so... so...
hot? Thank you.
Happy 35th, buddy.
Clip.
This is your real present. I gave you the vomit to throw you off suspicion. It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, like a charm.
It's a gullwing Mercedes. Do you like it?
Oh, Clip. I love it. I've always wanted one of these. Thanks.
Hey. Check out my date. Is she a killer or what?
Definitely a killer.
Yeah.
Hi. I'll have a light beer, Clip. Jackie, Cindy Joe.
Hey, we don't want to interrupt.
No, come on in, please.
Okay,
please.
This will just take a minute.
What's up?
Look, after you left, Niles and Lewis confessed to everything. That was a real touchdown, Larry. You know? Listen, we just dropped by to say thanks. I mean, you ran out of there so fast.
Well, I gotta get home. It's my birthday.
Well, then I got a little present for you. The board voted unanimously to offer you Niles Pender's job. Executive Vice President.
Well, Jackie, I don't know. So much has happened today. I'm gonna have to give it some thought.
125 to start in a Mercedes?
Thought's over.
Wonderful.
That's just great. Thank you, Jackie. Hey, you hungry? You thirsty?
Hey, time out.
Yeah.
Hi, Larry.
Isn't it, Joe?
I wish I'd known it was your birthday. I would have gotten you something.
Well, Cindy Joe, you've already given me more than you could possibly know. Really?
Well, happy birthday, Larry.
Thanks.
Well, that's it. That was my 35th birthday. I told you it was weird. It's so weird, I probably shouldn't tell anybody about it. I mean, who'd believe me? I'm not even sure I believe it myself.
Way to go, Burroughs.
Saw the game, kid.
Tough break.
You said it, mister. I blew it good.
Don't worry too much about it. Remember, you've got your whole life to look forward to.
Things will work out just fine.
Trust me.
What the hell does he know?
Yeah. And what the heck does he know? Look, that's what created the trouble. Here was God trying to share with him, everything will turn out okay. And poor old Larry said, what the heck does he know, and God in the stands? You know, it's interesting what we share with ourselves. We talk about ourselves, and we they set things up for us. You know, I remember I was about the same age as Larry, and my mom and dad were having some issues, and I remember going outside and leaning up against the side of the garage and saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm not going to turn out like my dad. And here it was 20 years later when I'm watching the movie, I'm the same age, and I turned out like my dad. And it was a struggle for me. And I had to put that into perspective. And all through life, God was there trying to change, offer possibilities for change. And I turned that down. And I saw that movie, I thought, that hits me. And that took me back to on that garage, on the side of the garage there, realizing that I'd said I didn't know who I wanted to be, but I left out the point, who does God want me to be? That was the missing element of that. You know, I get to challenge and I get to work with a lot of people. I have two very short stories here I want to share with you. Gary Smith is a NASCAR driver. And back in the 90s when I was hanging out with him, covering him in the NASCAR circuit, Gary had said something very profound, and it showed up in the front page of the Times Calls. He was on his way to the NASCAR Championship Winston Cup circuit. He was in his first season. He was doing great. And he made a statement. And the Times Calls put this on the front page of the TC. Smith headed for the big times. And underneath it was a quote by Gary. And Cleve Deanshaw, who's still with the TC, remembers that very vividly. And he wrote that quote down. And let me read this to you. I mean, I know it off by heart after all these years. But let me share it with you and tell me. You don't have to tell me. But you get the idea where I'm going with this. Here's what Gary said. My vision is to be in NASCAR Winston Cup auto racing in the next 2 years. Or I'm coming back to Victoria to race locally for the rest of my life. Ouch. And you know, Cleve picked up on that. And I would go to Gary relentlessly over the next couple years. Gary, we read that. Is there anything in that statement you want to change? No. really, is there anything? Do you want to drop it? No. And to this day, Gary is out at Western Speedway racing locally. You wonder why he just didn't leave it at, my goal is to be in the top form of NASCAR racing. He put a deadline on it. I'm not too sure God was behind that deadline. My friend Mike Renault works for Griffin Sheet Metal, and we've been friends for the last 25 years. He's a nice guy. He's in his 70s. He works 2 or 3 days a week. He's a Christian. I said, Mike, you have been with Griffin Sheet Metal a long time. How does God work in your life? How does he communicate? How does he talk to you? He said, Bill, the most significant message I ever got from God, I sensed it. I felt it. It's like I heard it. I knew it. It was just this knowing, this being, this. And it happened about 20 years ago. At that point, Mike had a growing family. And it was like he woke up one morning and it's like God saying to him, Mike, you work for Griffin Sheet Metal. If you like to go on your own, if you like to create your own business, what's your decision? And Mike said, he weighed it all out. And he said, no thanks, God. No thanks. And here's the coolest thing from that. As I talk to Mike 20 years later, he realizes he missed that. He gets that. And he's not afraid of the fact that God gave him that opportunity. And out of his own fear, he said no. But he said, life will be okay for me regardless of that. Things will turn out for me, and they have. God creates the suggestions, and we come up with those choices. For all of us here today, we're all on our pathway of life. And somewhere along the way, God may either take us back or take us forward, and we create a new destiny. The point of the movie here is to understand and appreciate the fact, number one, that God is here in us all the time, helping and guiding us, trying to communicate as best he can to us through all sorts of different sources. Number two, he's creating opportunities for change, much like he did with Job. Remember what happened to Larry in the last panel of the movie is what happened to Job in the last panel here. But God had to get through to Job. He had to let him know there were some issues that he wanted him to handle. And Job saw that. He relented. God didn't have to bless him, but he did. For all of us here, we're all blessed. We've all been given a life. We've all been given our own destiny. 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Whatever, could be 50. For the younger people, 60 or 70. We all have an opportunity to move towards that in a way in which we can be thankful and grateful and appreciative and respectful that God is here. He's working in our lives every day. He's working in our lives right now. So for all of you, all the best with your destiny. And may you all find that. And if you find a baseball game in your past or a garage in the side, then God is open to sourcing those issues out too. Go ahead, Larry. Oh, I tell you what, why don't we pray here, okay? Let's end with a prayer.